Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Joshua 7:19. The history of Achan teaches the solemn lesson that for one man's sin, the displeasure of God will rest upon a people or a nation till the transgression is searched out and punished. Sin is corrupting in its nature. One man infected with deadly leprosy may communicate the taint to thousands. Many dare not condemn iniquity, lest they shall thereby sacrifice position or popularity. And by some, it is considered uncharitable to rebuke sin. The servant of God is under the most solemn obligation to present the word of God without fear or favor. He must call sin by its right name. The love of God will never lead to the belittling of sin. It will never cover or excuse an unconfessed wrong. Achan learned too late that God's law, like its author, is unchangeable. It has to do with all our acts and thoughts and feelings. It follows us and reaches every secret spring of action. By indulgence in sin, men are led to lightly regard the law of God. Many conceal their transgression from their fellow men and flatter themselves that God will not be strict to mark iniquity. But his law is the great standard of right, and with it every act of life may be compared in that day when God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Purity of heart will lead to purity of life. All excuses for sin are vain. Who can plead for the sinner when God testifies against him? The greatest want of the world is the want of man, men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their innermost soul are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is as true to the duty as the needle to the pole, men who will stand for right though the heavens fall.
Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Heavenly Father, we see the signs being fulfilled all around us, and the problem is that we are excited. We should be excited, Father, because you promised in your word that your word will not return unto you void, and that everything will be fulfilled, shall be fulfilled. And when this is over and said and done, you will be, come to the clouds and go to receive your own. And Father, we pray to be along with our family members and friends, and all those in this, under the sound of our voice today will be ready and prepared to receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. We have persons standing by the phones right now. So if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call. Or you can reach us by our P.O. Box, that is P.O. Box N8993. Or you could visit our website. We have some new updates on Daniel and Revelation. So you could visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Or if you want to email us, you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. And if you happen to be away from the Bahamas, you can visit our website, and through our website we have a link to ZNS, or you could go straight to ZNS, which is www.znsbahamas.com. Now, our program is going to take a little different turn this afternoon. As some of you might be aware, we will be having a live call-in show on May 8th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. following the 10 Commandments Day festivities and so forth. We will have a live call-in show to give you Turning Point's view on the things that have happened during that day and during that week. And I'm asking you to make a note on your calendars, and please feel free to call in with comments and or questions concerning that. So our programs are going to take a little change for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be dealing with some of the issues that we see in the media and the papers, and that is basically going around us today. But before we begin, I'm just going to ask Brother Paul to give us an update on what is going on.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Tojan. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are excited to be coming to your homes today. On behalf of Turning Point Ministry, we'd like you to continue to pray for this ministry, and not only for this ministry, but all ministries that have the charge to preach the unadulterated truth to a lost and dying world. Like Brother Julian said, the greatest want of the world today is men who are not afraid to call sin by its right name. Simply meaning that it will not put them in the category of being popular, but they will remember that even Jesus Christ himself, who died for the sins of the world, were not popular. And once again, we can ask you to check on our website. That's www.tpministries.org, and check on our study on Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13, especially Revelation 13, because I heard something on the talk show this week that really sort of hurt my heart when the ministers on the gospel on the radio shows, talking about how when the mark of the beast take effect, God's people will not be here. But if you should click on that link, that Revelation 13, you will discover that we would be here during the time of the tribulation, and after that's all over, then what shall happen will happen.
Brother Paul, my first question to you this afternoon is, if we had to go to the Bible to look for one scripture to see why there's so much confusion in the world, and especially in the religious world, what text would that be?
In Psalms 119, verse 11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against Christ, that I may not sin against thee." So if you really want to know what's going on, and if you want a scripture to give an answer to every man that asketh for the reason, hope that be within us with meekness and fear, by all means, we must know what the word of God says. That's Psalms 119, verse 11. And the Bible says, if we should hide the word of God in our hearts, we will not sin against God. And not only would we not sin, but if others have the word hide in their heart, then they will also be able to not live a life of sin, because the word will condemn whatever their sinful action may be.
What are some of the things that we do or we show to show that we are confused or living in a state of unbelief and darkness?
According to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 and 9, the Bible says, and verses 14, the Bible says, "But he answered and said unto them, and today, why is it that you are transgressing the commandments of God by your tradition?" So Jesus said, you and I can transgress the commandments of God as long as our tradition is aligned with the word of God. And then he pens these words in verse 9 of Matthew 15, "But in vain do they worship me." Why, Lord? Why are these people on earth worshiping you in vain? Because they are teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And then he said in verse 14, "And then if you continue to follow these two concepts, tradition of men and worshiping him in vain," then he said, "these people who tell you to do these things are blind leaders of the blind." And then he said, "the blind lead the blind both shall fall into the ditch." And this is the most painful part about the gospel, that if we hear a turning point, or any other religious leader, as a matter of fact, are leading us down a path that is not biblical, the Bible says both the leader and the followers will fall in the ditch. That means both of them, but in hell, will open up their eyes.
Brother Paul, could you explain this word tradition to us, and what does that really mean?
The word tradition simply means customs or habit. Now, if our customs or our habits are lined up with the word of God, then tradition and customs and habits is not a really bad thing. For an example, in the days of Jesus, he had a custom or a habit. In Luke 4:16, the Bible says, "as his custom was, he went to synagogue every Sabbath and stood up and to read." And it just hurts the hearts of Jesus that people said they are Christians but don't want to follow in his footsteps, but are, like the Bible says, following into the footsteps and the traditions of men.
Brother Paul, one of the things, like I said earlier, we're going to look at some of the topics that have been in the headlines and in the news and on the talk shows. And one of those was about the movie Breakback Mountain. Apparently this movie is about the homosexual lifestyle, or homosexuals or something like that. What does the Bible have to say about homosexuals?
Well, the Bible has strong words on the lifestyle of the homosexual. The good thing about it is God hates homosexuality, but he loves homosexuals. In other words, if you are a homosexual and you have those tendencies and you ask God for the power to hold those tendencies in check, you will be saved. But because Leviticus 20 verse 10 says, "and if any man lie with mankind, or if any woman lie with womankind as with mankind, they have then committed an abomination, and they should be put to death, and their blood should be upon them." So the sad reality is, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I are guilty of homosexuality, and we don't get the victory over that, God forbid, we would then be in the camp of those abominable things. And none of us don't want to be in that camp. So by all means, if you are weak in this area, go to the Lord. Seek him today while he may be found. I assure you, he will give you the victory over this lifestyle. And who knows, he can use you to turn others from this life of wrong to the life that is right.
It seems, Brother Paul, that the church was up in arms about a movie about homosexuality. But I'm sure there are many movies that condone adultery or some other type of sexual deviant, and we allow it to go. Does the Bible speak against adultery?
Yes, it do. As a matter of fact, if this principle should taken out, maybe, but 60% of the men will be put to death today. Listen carefully, Leviticus 20 verse 10, "and the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, he that committed adultery with another man's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress should be put to death." So if you look at it in a positive, not only should 50% of the men be put to death, but also the women who they committed adultery with should be put to death. And then maybe the ratio will be a little bit uneven, because they said that there are the percentage-wise, there are more women in the Bahamas than men. But you know, most men who commit adultery have more than one sweetheart. So if you really take this out, then the ratio will be almost on the same. We'll have like 40% men and 40% women left if Leviticus 20:10 was to put to the effect today. But how come these ministers don't make too much? Because even some of these same ministers have been in the media with even documentation in the papers showing that the husbands of the wife that they are sweethearting taking them to court to try to get rid of them. But who is speaking out about it? Hardly, you know, ministers saying that this is out of order. But the word of God, Leviticus 20:10, said it's out of order then and it's also out of order today.
Another big thing is in the news, Brother Paul, is concerning health. And if you walk around and we go on the fort, or we go by Iron Bailey, or on the beaches, we see people walking and so forth. Could a lot of these health problems be a result of persons not listening to the scriptures? And why is that, and how is that?
I believe really it is, Brother Joel. As a matter of fact, you know, I don't know if our listeners are aware of it, but because of the mercury level in the water, the scientists have found that because the mercury level is so high in the fish content, the fishes when you eat them, you're eating them prayerfully and carefully because they're so dangerous for you not to eat. And then Jesus laid down this principle of things you should eat from the water in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 10. Whosoever have not fins and scales in the water, you should not eat it. And if you do, it's an abomination unto you. So the principle of things from the water is fins and scales. But here today, people eat their scotch count and their lobster and their crawfish and also their sharks and lobster and all these sorts of stuff. When the Bible says, these things, as a matter of fact, when the fishermen go to sea and he bring back the lobster and the crawfish and the crab, he is stealing from God's creation. Because God given some things he can bring back from the sea, but they must have fins and scales. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 12, you will find that. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 12 says, anything you bring back from the waters, fishermen, they must have fins and scales. So next time when you go fishing, please leave the sharks and the conch and the lobsters where they belong. And I assure you, God will bless you in some other way.
But Paul, in a short while, we would see along Ponciana Drive and Wolf Road and other areas of the Bahamas, we'll see crab. Now, based on the amount of crabs we see, surely the eating of crab has to be justified by the Bible.
No, it isn't, Brother Jude. And I'm glad you brought me that to my attention. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 41, the Bible says, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, it should be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Shall I repeat that? Leviticus chapter 11, verse 41. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. And these are not my words, ladies and gentlemen, but these are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he says, pretty much, Matthew 4:4, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's from Genesis to Revelation.
Brother Paul, we're talking about what you should and should not eat, and concerning health. What are some of the dangers that, or some of the diseases or problems these things cause? We know scientifically called.
I'm happy you brought it also to my attention today, Brother Jude. You know, ladies and gentlemen, for the past going on 4 years now, we've been telling you the importance of eating your nuts, your fruits, your grains, and your vegetables. Did you know most doctors today who are really studying the scientific research are telling their patients to stay away from conch and these type of foods that are high in cholesterol? They are calling heart disease. They're also causing heart attacks and all sorts of different disorders because people are eating things that they should not be eating. And the hospital is filled, and the doctors are getting rich because ministers of the gospel tell them, just pray over it. Eat whatever you want to eat. And what is the sad result? People are dying shorter than they're supposed to be dying. And today, my heart go to one of my customers. He just died just this week past, last week past. He died from prostate cancer. You know, as I began to tell the young man some of the things that his friend was telling him, don't worry what Paul is saying. Eat whatever you want to eat. And now today he's asleep awaiting the trumpet of the Lord. And I pray God that when he died, all was well with him and his soul. And today I'd like for you to pray for him and his family. I don't want to call his name, but just pray for his wife and also his kids that today are without a father.
I'm sure you slipped when you said pray for him. You mean pray for his family?
Yes, pray for his family because, you know, the Bible teaches the dead know not anything. And his case is decided. I'm happy that Brother Junior is listening carefully to what I'm saying here because, you know, there is a church on the earth that do say that you can pray for the dead. But ladies and gentlemen, the dead know not anything. That's why the time you want to pray for anyone, the time to pray for them is while they are alive, that they will turn to the Lord before it's a day too late.
All right, Brother Paul, are you saying that these laws, these health laws, these food laws, on what we should not eat, were given to God's people? But what about the most favorite, I think, animal that we have, that we go from the snout to the tail that we eat? Pig. What does the Bible say but pork and pig?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, any food sort that has pigs on the shelf is out of order. And as a matter of fact, I understand that he's getting ready to start a pig farm here in the Bahamas. That also is out of order. Are you saying, are you sure, Brother Miller? I'm very sure, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the scripture very carefully. That's Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 to 8. And it says, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Now the first question needs to be asked, do you and I consider ourselves children of the Lord your God? All of us in the affirmative basically will say yes. Well, then listen to what the Lord has to say to us today. You should not cut yourselves. And as a matter of fact, don't put no tattoos on your body. You should make no boldness between the eye for the dead. For thou art holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord has chosen to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. You should not eat any abominable things. What are some of these abominable things to us if you should not eat? The swine, in verse 8 of Deuteronomy 14. Because he divided the hoof, yet he chewed not the cud. It is unclean to you. Not only should you not eat it, you should not even touch his flesh of the dead carcass of this animal, the Bible says. So God has strong words against the pig. He said, anything you eat from the land that walketh upon the land must chew the cud and spit the hoof. And this is why the crab is a no-no. Jesus is clear, ladies and gentlemen. He said, if you should eat the swine, it is unclean to you. And if you are eating the swine, you are not a peculiar people unto him. But you are peculiar people unto who else you think? But the devil himself. The devil wants us to destroy us, ladies and gentlemen. And the pig is so high in cholesterol. It also has a worm that once you eat it, this worm stays in your body forever. I can't remember the name of the worm. But if you call me after the show is over, I'll tell you the name of that worm that gets into our bodies. And once we eat the pork just once, this worm be in our body for the rest of our lives and bring sickness and chaos to our helpful life.
But Paul, I want to ask you another question concerning eating. I'm sure there's some people out there who eat what we call clean food, who eat the chicken and the cow and the sheep and the lamb and all those stuff. But does the Bible give us any specific ways that we should prepare even those clean meat?
Yes, it do, Brother Julian. In the book of Leviticus, I think it is, and also in the book of Genesis, you will find where Jesus says, whenever you eat the clean foods, they should be without the fat and without the blood. And if you don't get rid of the fat and the blood, he simply says, you and I would be cut off. So in other words, when you get your meat that are okay by God for you to eat, they must be kosher meat. And you know, you can find them in the food store. In some of the major food markets, you can buy kosher meat. Simply meaning that the meats that are kosher are without the fat, are without the blood. Because the Bible says, where the fat and the blood is actually where the poison is. And this will cause some of us to die before our time.
Surely, Brother Paul, the law of God has changed. Because the way we see people eat and the way they treat the Sabbath day, surely it has changed.
Has it changed? No, Brother Julian, it has not changed. I think a lot of people get mixed up in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. I'm inviting our listeners to get their dictionary and look up two words I want you to look up. I want you to look up the word fulfill, and I want you to look up the word fulfilled. And you realize that these two words have two different meanings. Jesus put it this way when he dealt with the word fulfill and the word fulfilled. Think not, Jesus said, don't even let it enter into your mind that I've come to destroy the law, which points out sin, or the prophets. From Genesis to Revelation, show you where the power comes from to overcome sin. And also show you where the results will be if you continue to commit sin. I have not come to destroy these two principles, said Jesus. I came to fulfill them. For verily, verily, I say unto you, said Jesus, until heaven and earth has passed. Have heaven and earth passed yet, ladies and gentlemen? No, we know why. Until these two are passed, heaven and earth has passed, Jesus said, until all has been fulfilled, this law will be in effect. And then verse 19, he says today, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach my boys and girls or young people so, he should be called least in the kingdom of heaven. That word simply means you will not be there at all. But whosoever should do and teach them should be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Won't you want to be called great today? To know that you are leading people down the paths of righteousness, and because of you teaching them the paths of righteousness, you can save their souls from hell? Think about it. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 19.
Are you also saying, Brother Paul, that God's moral and health law are still binding on his people today?
Yes, Brother Julian, they are very much binding today. And because people are teaching that they're not binding, we have chaos. We have crime, we have violence, we have rape, incest, and all this stuff. But James 2, 8 to 10 tells us, if we fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you should do well. And you should not be no respecter of a person, because if you do, you could be commit a sin. In other words, you should not put someone else better than the other. We are all equal in God's eyesight. Yes, our calling might be different. Yes, our status in society might be different. But in God's eyesight, we should be treated equal, unfairly. The Bible says, then if you should do this, if you should treat someone better than the other, or look at someone like they're better than the other person, the Bible says, you have become a transgressor of the law. For whosoever should keep the whole law, and yet offend at one point, is guilty of all. So the Bible says, if you guilty of one sin, it should be you do all the other rest of sins, because you are guilty of breaking the whole law of God today.
Brother Paul, how important it is for those who might be in leadership position to make sure that the people who they are leading, that they are leading down the path of truth and righteousness.
It's very, very important. It's Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 18 and 26 says, anytime someone is leading people, they are a curse. Cursed be he or she that maketh the blind to wander wander out of the way. And the Bible says, when this was said, all the people then said amen. But how many people today are saying amen? Verse 26 says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And then again the people said, all of them said amen. How about today? Are you saying amen to all the words of God today? If you are not, then who are you saying amen to?
Brother Paul, have we gone too far in our experience in this life that there's no more hope for us?
No, Brother Julian, there's still hope for everyone on planet Earth today. If there was no hope, surely the Lord protecting us would not have been around you today. So what is the hope? What do we need to do today? Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, you and I shall seek the Lord today while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and unto our God, and he shall abundantly pardon. So why don't you seek the Lord today so he can pardon you and I, and any one of us who have any sins in our life that are not of him?
Brother Paul, another incident we normally see in the Bahamas is that there's always or regularly a call for praying for the nation. But does God have any requirements before we can pray to him and get his blessing?
Yes, he do. In Proverbs chapter 28 and Psalms chapter 66 verse 18, it says, and he or she that turn away his ear from hearing the law of God, even his prayer, should be an abomination. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if you and I regard iniquity in our hearts, our Lord will not hear us. So the two requirements are we paying attention or obedient to God's law, or are we outrightly rejecting God's law? And if we are, the Bible says, the Lord is not hearing our prayer. So today we only are living by the grace and the mercies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Brother Paul, if we want God to answer our prayer, can't we be holding on to darkness and light at the same time and he still will hear us?
No, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, we have a prime example of this in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 and 22, when Elijah, the prophet, is on Mount Carmel, where he asks this question. He said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people of the Bible says, answered Elijah, not a word. And then Elijah said unto the people, I am the only remaining prophet of the Lord. But Baal prophets are 450. In other words, there were 451 prophets on Mount Carmel, and only one was on the Lord's side, and that was Elijah. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, the same thing is happening today. Just but everyone today want to be a prophet or a bishop. But the Bible tells us how you would know. And a little while we will tell you how you would know who is and who is not.
Well, that's my next question, Brother Paul. Does the Bible have a litmus test for us to know if people are bringing us light or darkness?
Yes, it do. In Isaiah chapter 8, verses 20, mark it in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. The law, Exodus chapter 20, which points out sin. The testimony from Genesis to Revelation shows about the power to overcome sin. Bible says, if they don't have these two principles in their portfolio, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Not some light, but no light. Like Elijah said, we cannot halt between two opinions. If it's God be our God, then follow him. If it's Baal, then follow him. Because we can't be on the right and the left. We need to be exactly on the narrow path that God has called us to today.
What is the message for us that are living in these closing hours of Earth history?
The message for the day in the closing is Revelation 14, verse 69. And has the message that an angel preaching the everlasting gospel to the lost and dying world, to every nation, kingdom, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice that we shall fear God and him only, and give glory to him and him only, for the hour of his judgment has come, and you and I shall worship him that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. The Bible also says that Babylon has fallen, that means confusion doctrines are falling all around us. So the time has come for us to raise the standard while the time is still lingering on.
Why is this message so important to us in this time?
The reason why this message is so important, Brother Julian, is because Revelation 14, verse 10, 9 to 11, it says, and the third angel followed, saying, if any man shall worship the beast in his image, and drink of the wine of the wrath of God, and his cup of the cup mixed with his cup is an indignation. So, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for us to be prepared not to receive the mark of the beast. Because if we do, our end will be not be a good one. We will find ourselves outside of the kingdom of God.
What is the true Christian called to do today if he sees that his church or his congregation or wherever he's worship is going against his express word of God?
The true Christian today will follow the principle of Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 to 5. which simply means they would be calling people out of darkness into God's marvelous light. This angel said that it was lightened with the glory of God. And he's calling people out of this lifestyle because they don't want to receive the plagues of God, according to Revelation 16. Because God will remember our sins and our iniquity if we remain where we are.
When the preaching of the word is finished and judgment is over, what would take place next?
It would not be good. According to Daniel 12, 1 and 2, the Bible says, when Micah should stand up, when God has finished interceding for his people, there'll be a time of trouble on the earth that was never was since there was a nation. And only those who are found written in the book of life will receive eternal life.
Did Jesus ever back up this statement that Daniel made?
Yes, he did. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, "And take heed that no man deceive you." And because iniquity abounds, Jesus says, "The love of many will wax cold." Then he said, "But he that endure to the end, the same shall be saved." The Bible also says that this gospel is preached to the whole world for a witness, and then shall the end come. And then he said, there should be a great tribulation that would be so great that if he don't cut it short, work short in righteousness, no flesh should be saved on planet Earth.
And what would happen to those who don't listen to this message?
It would not be a good one, Brother Julian. Hosea 4:17 says, "Ephraim," meaning Paul, "or whoever is joined to his idol, leave him alone." So if you're holding in the idols today, ladies and gentlemen, be assured, any sin, the time will come when the pronouncement be made from heaven, leave so-and-so alone, or leave XYZ alone, he is journeying to his idol.
But what is the Christian to do now to prepare for Christ's soon coming?
In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 and 15, it says, "But shun profane or unworthy or holy babblings, for they will increase, and more ungodliness will be produced. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth."
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for giving us another opportunity to come to the Bahamas and beyond. Lord, there might be some things that might have been said that might have been difficult for some people to take. But Lord, we ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to enlighten their heart, that they may go and study to show, to see if these things were true. And then come back. And if it is true, then to give them the power to walk in that direction. Help us, O Lord, we pray. And be with us now and forevermore, as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. That's 322-6273, and our website is www.tpministries.org. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. Until next week. And before we go, please don't forget, May 8th, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., live call-in show, Turning Point, dealing with the Ten Commandment Day. And this is Julian Miller. May the peace of God be with you.